2 hours down. Here comes our third and final hour. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Wednesday to you. Program, as always, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know what was not seamless? Duanye trying to get up on that scorer's table.
That was tragic.
Mike D for three tweets. Rome, Dwayne Wade, falling was awkward. Thanks. Signed, that kooky grape smashing lady biting it.
That was tragic.
No.
Oh,
boy,
dear. I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
You think?
She hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
You think? Did you listen to what she was saying? Oh, and that was so smooth where you dropped in. Oh, that's tragic. Right in the middle of that. Like that grape lady is one of the all-time great clips. The grape lady. Something you have to reset. Something you have to revisit every 6 months or so. Or, Alvin, every 6 seconds or so. I think I'd like to hear that again with that was tragic in the middle of it. Does that seal sound hurt?
Stop.
That was tragic.
Oh, dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's Ouch. Hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay. Boy,
gosh, I hope she's okay.
Yeah, I don't think she is. And then to see Dwayne Wade, Hall of Famer, cap his career with that signature move and it ending up in a face plant was incredible. Really amazing. Right, you already know all the necessary data, how to find me. You can call, you can tweet, you can email, or you can just sit back and let me do all the work, like most of you always do, which is fine. They pay me to do the work. So it's now officially Masters Eve, less than 24 hours until golf Christmas. However, St. Van Smack has already dropped off the biggest and best gift under the azaleas, a freaking 45-minute Steve Elkington uncensored, uncut podcast. You're welcome, clones. And right now, you can find it for free wherever you get your podcast from. And those that have already ripped through the digital wrapping paper are coming in hot. Ryan Stover tweets, incredible as always. War Elk. Neil in the 719 thumbed out. Rome, there are guests that you have to help hit their stride. Never with Elk. He's already running as soon as you introduce him. End of quote. Dave Yonk wrote, quote, that was the best time spent in a long time with Elk. Epic. I'm not going to go on and on. But instead, I'll just give you a taste of what they're all talking about. Now, yesterday, I played some clips from the episode that were anecdotal. They were some of the great stories. If you know Elk, you know that nobody tells a better story than Elk. But since today is, in fact, Masters Eve, I want to run back some of the more topical takes that he shared with us leading up to what he thinks is going to go down this week at Augusta. You already know that he likes Tiger to rip his fifth green jacket Sunday. But what about the hottest player on tour right now seeking the career Grand Slam? What about Rory?
I don't see it, mate, right now for him at Augusta. He just got beat by a cat down there, and he hit some terribly loose shots coming in. It was pretty f***ing awful what he did there to himself. No, I don't think he's going to do the slam. I don't think there's no slam in this deal.
This time, or he's never going to get the slam.
Look, I'll get killed anyway. It doesn't matter. I don't know if he's got enough of the stuff you can't see. I don't know if he's got enough of the stuff that Tiger has. Well, someone may say, well, what about so-and-so that won the Masters? Well, yeah, I'm talking about the f***ing slam here. This is not just the Masters. This is slam deluxe. There's more pressure on him than anyone. Not less, more. He barely beat Jim Furyk over there at the Players. Furyk's my age almost. Swings like a f***ing helicopter. Give me a break.
Elk. It's not the first time Elk has been critical of Rory. Probably will not be the last time either. And despite the fact that Rory is probably playing his best golf right now, and that's saying something, Elk still thinks that he does not have what it takes to close at Augusta. And it's that it's not just Augusta. To Alex's point, it's not just the Masters, it's the Slam. And he doesn't have less pressure, he has more pressure. And that it's not going to happen this year, and it may never happen for him. Elk also talked about Jordan Spieth. This guy's been struggling lately, especially with the putter. But if anybody loves Augusta National, it's Spieth. So I asked Elk what he thought about Jordan's chances were of getting right at Augusta in time for Thursday.
I think Spieth has more problems than Hefty. Spieth's nutcase right now, I think. Putting cross-handed, putting regular, putting half-cross. I mean, he's got all kind of stuff going on. Couldn't believe it.
Augusta is not exactly the place to get right, but we know that he loves that place. Is there any chance at all that he's going to be a factor this week?
No. N-O. He'll be back. That guy is most impressive gamer I've ever seen. I was at Duffner's birthday party last year. The boys were coming in from New Orleans, and Perez was playing with Duffner. They finished second. And so we were all at the house because Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas and Spieth, Gary Woodland, they didn't play that week. So they were at Duffner's house all day just f***ing off, drinking beer, fishing, dirt bikes. All those guys do is play games and gamble. They'll go basketball. They'll play pool. They'll play horseshoes. They just keep going, Jimmy, mate. They just bet whatever you want, and they just keep going and going and going. They're just such – I love them. I think if I was playing the tour right now, I'd try to hang around with those guys.
Elk's so amazing. This is why Elk is the best there ever was. They just keep going, Jimmy, mate. If I were playing on tour, I'd be hanging out with these guys. You got to love how Elk can, like, just effortlessly move from a take on Spieth to this amazing story about Jason Duffner's birthday party where Jordan and Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas were running around and gambling on everything. Everything. And crushing beers. Gambling on pool. Gambling on basketball. Gambling on horseshoes. Probably gambling on the dirt bikes. Everything. And Elk would be the guy that he'd be running with these guys if he could still play on tour at that level. But the main point is the main point, and Elk does not think that Jordan Spieth is going to be the guy who gets back to being Jordan Spieth this week. Another young dude getting a lot of run right now is ranked sixth in the world. Sixth best stick in the world. That's the mad scientist, Bryson DeChambeau. This is a guy known for implementing extreme analytics into his game. This is also a guy who's known for rolling with a huge crew wherever he goes. And a few weeks back, Elk and his son Sam saw Bryson and all of his gadgets and all of his technology and all of his peeps at the range at TPC Sawgrass.
Me and Sam with the Players Championship, mate. And DeChambeau is hitting balls next to Duffner. And the Duff's got a carry bag because he's caddy hurt his back. And DeChambeau's got six or seven suitcases out there. He's got camera down on the ball. He's got a guy that's pouring water on the ball. He's measuring the spin rates off the track, man. He's got a stick stuck in the ground with like a toothbrush in it that when he finishes hitting the shot, it cleans the club face with the toothbrush. I said to Sam, I said, look at this show. Look at this circus. We should put a tent over this son of a bitch and sell tickets to this thing. I never seen anything like it, mate.
Look at this circus. We should put a tent over this son of a bitch and sell tickets to this thing. Only Elk. Freaking Elk. You're not going to get that kind of golf conversation anywhere else from anyone else. I promise you that. And there's more. I had to get Elk's opinion on what he thought about Matt Kuchar's $5,000 tip out on a $1.2 million payday in Mexico back in November. Now, remember, we covered that story extensively here. But I had not spoken to Elk about it until this week. Here's what Elk had to say about that whole thing.
Well, I was bad, mate. I would have spilt $5,000 around the bar if I would have won down in Mexico. But it's so hard to think what he was thinking because 1.2, okay, there's no agreement, first of all. There's no agreement. There is nothing written with caddies. You just say, hey, you want to work? Yeah, I want to work. Okay, I'll pay you $1,000 this week. Okay, great. You don't even jinx yourself by saying, well, if I win, here's what you're going to get. You know, none of that. That doesn't happen. I'm going to leave it this way. when I won the PGA at Riviera, and I won $360,000 when I won there, my wife and I sat down together, and we knew that, winning that tournament was going to change our life forever. So we decided that we would pay our caddy $100,000, 33%, because we wanted to change his life. He wanted to buy a house in Scotland. So every time that guy looked at his house, he knew that that house was paid for from his win of us together that no one will ever forget. What I think Kuchar could have done in Mexico was something similar. He could have given him the whole show, and he could have built a caddy yard down there, and every Mexican kid that wanted to be a caddy could have come to that new El Jefe down there and learn how to win on the PGA Tour, because he's done it. But that didn't happen that way. He it up. Upside down. A lot of tour players are saying that was a terrible hill to die on. If you're going to die on one, that was a bad one to die on right there, mate. That was a bad move. Money's a bad move, especially when you got tons of it.
Elk. So what you have there is roughly 4 minutes of sound. I mean, four unbelievable minutes of sound from a 45-minute podcast. There is 41 more where that came from, and all of it is as good as that. It's waiting for you right now. It's free. It's on iTunes. It's on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, JimRome.com. Episode 76 with Steve Elkington. Uncensored, uncut, free. Check it out right now. There is absolutely no better way to celebrate Masters Eve. Guaranteed. I'll even tag it with some voicemail. Thanks, Elk. Appreciate you, mate. The most amazing thing about Elk is not that he shows up like that, but that he feels the pressure to show up like that. Not only does he not mail it in, Elk knows that the clones have such this amazing expectation for him that he always wants to deliver. To quote Tom Verducci, Tom Verducci said this about Bryce Harper. He's a red light guy. Elk's a red light guy. Red light goes on. Elk knows it's showtime. He likes it. He loves it. And he's really good at it. When we return, my pick for the Stanley Cup Final. I'm a red light guy. When it's time to talk hockey, it's time to get paid. It's time for me to be right again. It's time for me to extend my streak. That's coming up next. There is one phone line open. That's because the other seven that I don't want to take will not hang up. But there is one. 1-800-636-8686. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
By the way, it's true. Greg Berhalter, head coach of the U.S. men's national team, not only came on the show again, came on the show in studio yesterday. U.S. men's national team tweeted out a picture of he and I in studio, which I retweeted. And then my main man, Kevin Frazier jumped in. Butta and I would talk soccer over the years. Kevin Frazier loves it. Kevin and I are boys. He's one of my best friends. He's one of the most talented guys I know. A host of ET. And he's done so many amazing things in the business. Kevin's incredible. Kevin is an unbelievable talent. But that's the only thing that we just really couldn't agree on, was soccer. I'm like, how you like me now, butta? He just tweeted, so, you can teach an old dog new tricks. Welcome to the beautiful game at Jim Rome. Now can we get you to the best sports experience in SoCal, an at LAFC game. At LAFC 3252, need you to blow this dude's timeline up until he shows up. You never know. You never know. After all, Greg Berhalter is showing up in studio to talk soccer. And it was a damn good interview, too. You got to give me that. You may love the beautiful game. You may hate the beautiful game. You cannot say that was not a good interview. He showed up. I showed up. We'll be doing it again.
You should give them some credit. I mean,
and give us some bleeping credit. For real. Can't wait to do it again. Cannot wait to do it again. All right, now, Alvy, it is that time. And I tell you how I know it's that time. Number one, you're blowing up my timeline to remind me that it's that time and you want to get paid. Number two, When I hear my man Scotty Farrell do this, I know it's this time.
The Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight. You got to be kidding me. Farrell on the bench, Tenney.
Scotty, my man. What's up, kid? I'd ask you how you're living, Scotty, but I already know. Awesome. Like a freaking boss. Scotty Farrell said it best. You got to be kidding me.
The Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight. You got to be kidding me.
That's my favorite thing that I've heard from him since he annihilated Jay Gruden.
Fat ass.
You listen to Scotty Farrell. If you know it's good for you, if you're smart. All right, so with that in mind, I need that horn, Alvy. The Stanley Cup playoffs are here. They're here. Chuck the razor. Grow the mullet. The most badass postseason in all of sport kicks off tonight with five freaking games. You know this is a house of puck. You know this is the one national show, other than Scotty's, that loves to talk hockey.
I love when you talk hockey.
I do talk hockey. And you know that when 16 teams are about to do battle for Lord Stanley's Cup, that only one internationally syndicated sports talk show host is going to put himself out there. You know that. Listen, I own what I need to own. I might be wrong about a lot of things, but there is one thing that I am never wrong about. The Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a freaking gift. I'm not sure why I've been bestowed with this gift. I don't know. I just know I have it, and I know that I'm going to respect it, because with great power comes enormous responsibility. And when you're a guy heard on over 200 terrestrial radio stations, beaming through space on Sirius XM, simulcast on the CBS Sports Network, and streamed wherever and whenever you want, you've got two choices. You can duck and cover and hedge, or you can step the hell up, step the hell out on a ledge and make your pick. You know what kind of show this is. You know what kind of a guy I am. This is why you're going to get my stone cold lead pipe, absolutely never, ever wrong Stanley Cup pick. Now, before I get there, one quick thing. Let me acknowledge one quick thing. The haters, because some of you think this is some kind of bit. Some of you think this is some sort of elaborate setup, some audio magic, perhaps, where Alvin spends hours and hours pulling off. And not just the so-called Radio Shack employees, but actual callers. You know, like Kathleen from Omaha.
Enough. You're wrong. You pick Nashville. Or as I like to call them, Trashville. You did not pick Winnipeg. I heard, and it's the same as last year, when I know you picked Washington and Chicago. And the time before that, when it was L.A. and San Jose, you pick L.A. and you have really, really in.
Hey, Kathleen. Hey, haters. Hear me clearly. I am making my pick. I am going out on a ledge. I am the man in the freaking arena. And I'm saying this loud, and I'm saying it clearly. There is a storm coming. The Lightning are winning the cup. Yeah, I said it. Yes, you heard it. The Tampa Bay Lightning are winning the Stanley Cup. John Cooper is the coach to get it done. John Cooper has already been knocking at the door. He's made it to the conference finals in three of the last 4 years. But this is the year that he and they finally hoist the cup. Nikita Kucherov is a freaking star. Steven Stamkos is a leader of men. Andre Vasilevsky is a brick wall between the pipes. 2018 Norris Trophy winner Victor Hedman is back. He's healthy. Ryan McDonagh is ready to go. I know the past, and I know the future. The future is the Lightning bringing the Stanley Cup back to Tampa. Now, don't at me for picking the team with the most wins, because going chalk in hockey is the most non-chalk thing ever. Winning the President's Trophy, hear me out, winning the President's Trophy means pretty much nothing when it comes to winning Lord Stanley. If having the most regular season points meant that you would be the last team standing, then more than 8 of the last 32 President's Trophy winners would have done it. The team with the most regular season points has not won the cup since Chicago did it back in 2013. Something else I called, because I've never been wrong. Now, there are other teams to like. There are other teams that I really do like. Vegas is incredible. They nearly won it all last year in their first year of existence. And they look like the team to beat out west, especially with a 3-time cup winner in Marc-Andre Fleury in between the pipes. Boston is playing really well right now. The face licker, Brad Marchand, could be back singing Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow again.
Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow. Yeah. Hold it up, Boston. Thank you.
I mean, in a way, if I could see that again, I wouldn't even mind being wrong. Except I just don't see anybody beating Tampa Bay. Not even John Tortorella. Torts is the guy who led Tampa to their only other cup win. Torts is the guy who they face in round one. Don't get it twisted. Columbus may be an 8, but they've got way more talent than an 8. And they have Torts. They've got way more talent than an 8. Assuming everybody is able to take the ice and not, you know, anybody doing this.
He shit his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything.
He bleeped his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything.
He shit his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything.
So there is your Stanley Cup pick. There is your Stanley Cup champion. Take it to the freaking bank. Hate all you want, or take that information, run with it, get paid. A storm is coming. The Lightning are going to win the Stanley Cup. And if you want more in-depth analysis than what I just gave you, wait for my man Scotty Farrell.
The Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight. You got to be kidding me, Farrell on the bench.
That's exactly what I thought when I woke up this morning. Like, damn, you got to be kidding me. They do start. Time for me to help people get paid. 1-800-636-8686. When we return, let's get a phone call in here. The aforementioned. It's like the bat signal went out. The Kathleen signal went out. Kathleen was the one. I played the soundbite. She was so upset saying, what are you doing, man? You're not telling the truth. You're not being honest. You're not being real. I heard you. Kathleen, I don't know what you heard, but I know what I said. Anyway, you have my pick. So I'll tell you what, Kathleen. Kathleen, you're on. So instead of you saying what I did or didn't do, why don't you give me your pick, Kathleen?
Penguins all the way. They got to step it up and take back what was taken from them last year, which should have been a three-peat if old dumb old Washington hadn't got in their way. Penguins all the way.
All right, so Kathleen, let me ask you this. What
Four-time Stanley Cup winners for Sydney and the rest of them.
What do you like best about Sydney? What does he have to bring to this?
I don't know hockey that well, but I just know Penguins all the way.
Yeah, but you know Sydney. You know Sydney pretty well. What do you like best? What do you like best
I'm
about Sydney?
I'm talking about Sydney and the stuff I said about him in the past. Forget about that. Just that they got to do what they failed to do last year, which really made me mad.
You know what, Kathleen? I respect that you don't want to live in the past and you're looking ahead, not back. But there are people listening right now.
Penguins, they infuriated me. They got to step it up. Take it back. Take the cup back. Sydney, all of them, whatever. It ain't about Sydney's whatever. It's about them taking the cup back to where it belongs.
I got you. All right, Kathleen, thank you very much. She was too smart for that, wasn't she? She was not going there. She's like, I know what you're trying to do, Rome. I know what you're trying to get me to say. I'm not saying it. It's not about that. It's about the cup. It's about the cup. All right. The thing about that is, Kathleen, I don't need you to say that because I've got that on tape. You know, you try and say that I said this, I said that, I had on tape. I have what you said on tape about Sydney, Kathleen.
How did he get that big, luscious ass and those succulent lips? Is your ass bigger than Madison Bumgarner of the San Francisco Giants? Oh, man.
No wonder she didn't want to go there. This show is like the internet. It's in ink. It's on tape. It's on DAT. This is why you can't accuse me of saying something I didn't say. It's all on tape. It's all on tape. We have it. Alvy rolled on that prediction. So when the Lightning finish this thing and they win their four series, I will be able to stand up in front of all of you and say, I hope you got down. Hope you made money. You're welcome. At TFP Will Eat tweets, we sing black and yellow all day, every day. Regards, LeVar Ball's Chicklets.
Black and yellow, black and yellow. Yeah. Hold it up, Posse.
No, Francis. He said that because they're the Boston Bruins. Black and yellow, black and yellow. The team colors. Let's see. What do we still have here? Oh, Marcelo Zuna. You check out his act yesterday. I want to get to that before the end of the program. If there's a good phone call, I'll get that in before the end of the program. A lot of show today. Lots and lots of show. All right, stay with it. Masters. Masters Eve. It's a good week. Really good week. Good day on the program. We had Tony Bennett, head coach of the national champs. We had Drew Tranquil, Tom Verducci, reset of Elk on episode 76 of the Jim Rome podcast, and a lot of me, and not so much of you. That's a good day. I wish it weren't that way, but it is. ATP on a Wednesday. Ask the Pros. You submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'll get there in a minute. Quick phone call. Let's go to Orlando. Eric in Orlando. Eric, of course, is the guy who glossed James Kelly, the flight deck. Now, he hasn't lived up to that famous call since, but he keeps chasing, which I got to respect. Eric, what's going on?
Oh, Romy, you got to give the clones much recognition, man, the attention to detail on that last phone call of mine. The smack-off participants, they're going to be under a fine microscope. Anyway, I was wondering if you remember the builder of that super yacht you were on. That thing looks beautiful, and that fish dish. What was it? And did you and the boys get a chance to fish?
112 feet, if I'm not mistaken, and it was a Sunseeker.
I knew it. I was going to say Sunseeker, Uniesse, or Fedship. So, did you get a tour of the engine room and the whole vessel?
No, you know what? We did not fish. Had a couple of pops. Hung out with the fams. You tell me, does that boat have what it takes to be in Marlin magazine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been on many Sunseekers. They're a fine ship, man. They're excellent.
It was so fun. All right, Eric, I appreciate that. So that's what that was. We did not fish, so therefore I did not catch anything. It was my man, Mo Oberfeld. And Adrian Gonzalez was on the boat, and a few families, the kids, had a good time. Limited water sports because the wind kicked up. A little bit of tequila. No fishing. Agon, he's a big fisherman. As I mentioned, he gave me my first official lesson in tequila. Katie from Wisconsin asks, what would you do if one of your staffers quit without telling you, like Magic did? Good question, Katie. Where in Wisco are you? The answer is, it depends which staffer it is. Like, if a truly valued staffer quit on me and didn't tell me, my reaction would probably be very similar to Jeannie Buss's. I'd be, and they reportedly were shocked, angry, and saddened. If it was a staffer that I thought highly of, that moves the needle, that makes a difference, I think that I would be shocked, disappointed, angry, and saddened. If it was Adam Hawk, I wouldn't give a damn. Sorry, Adam. But the honest answer is, I'm going to keep it real with you, it depends who it is. If Alvin pulled that on me, I would be shocked, disappointed, saddened, and angry. If Hawk did it, I'd say, don't let the door hit you in the ass. What? Look, there's a right way and a wrong way. That's not how you quit. That's not how you quit any job, much less a job that important, much less when you work for a family that you say means so much to you. There are a dozen different ways that Magic could have handled that, and that was the worst possible way. And the reasons that he gave made no sense whatsoever. You know, she's like a sister to me. She means so much to me. I couldn't possibly say that to her face. What? You're the president of an NBA franchise. If you're going to quit, you best go to your boss and tell your boss to her face so she doesn't hear about it at the same time as everybody else, especially when you consider her your sister. I mean, nothing that guy said made any sense whatsoever. There was no logic based in anything that guy said. Like, I didn't know what this job entailed. I didn't know I wasn't allowed to tweet. I didn't know that I couldn't go on Kimmel and say what I wanted. This job sucks. Yeah, because it involves work, right, Irv? The guy had no idea that he had to work so hard. And then apparently, like, there's this ESPN magazine article that allegedly, reportedly was going to come out where he wasn't treating those around him very well. So never mind. The guy was keeping limited office hours, but when he was there, allegedly, was not treating people very well either. I mean, what a disaster. But how did she not know? How did she not see that coming? How did she not know who she was hiring? Nobody knows Magic better than Jeannie Buss. How did she not know?
That was tragic.
That was tragic. Because he was acting like tragic. Magic! My man thought it would be easy. Like he thought being a head coach would be easy. Like he thought being a talk show host would be easy. None of that was easy. Man, that's too bad. That took me away from what I really want to talk about. Marcell Ozuna. Like, we live in a world that's absolutely crippled by recency bias. Everything we saw yesterday is like the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. Until we see something new tonight. And then that'll be the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. Any semblance of historical context has truly become a thing of the past because of our instant ability to pull it up on our phones, right? That being said, I defy any of you to find a weirder start to a baseball season ever. Go to your phone, go to the internet, find me a more bizarre start to any baseball season. The Mariners and the Rays are the best teams in baseball. The Cubs and the Red Sox are among the worst teams in baseball. Chris Davis is making $20 million this year. He hasn't had a hit since September of last year. Yasiel Puig moved to Ohio. It took him all of 1 week to throw hands with the entire state of Pennsylvania. The Rangers are celebrating dong shots by grabbing each other's bananas and grapes behind home plate. So in a season that's already off to the most bizarre start ever, it should come as no surprise at all that last night featured one of the most bizarre misplayed fly balls ever. This all-time lowlight happened in St. Louis yesterday during the eighth inning of a Dodgers-Cardinals game. Mike Mayer is on the bump. Kike Hernandez at the dish. Marcell Ozuna, unfortunately for him, in left field. I say that because it was one of the most unfortunate plays ever. Listen as Hernandez lifts a towering fly ball to left that Ozuna clearly thought was going to leave the yard. In fact, he was so sold on the ball leaving the yard that he got up on the fence. And he deked the Dodgers TV broadcast team into thinking the same thing. The only problem for him is the ball didn't come close to leaving the yard. And that left Ozuna to make a very disgraceful jump of his own.
Hernandez hits a high fly ball to left. Ozuna's back out of room. Oh, my goodness. What in the world happened to him? He misread it badly, climbing the wall. And then the ball landed on the warning track as he fell off of the wall and bounced over for a double.
I don't know if he's embarrassed or hurt.
You got to watch that. You listen to Joe Davis on the call. He got deked himself because he was watching the outfielder. Ozuna was out of room. He scaled the wall to wait on a ball that he thought he was going to bring back from the seats, only to see it land 10 feet in front of him.
Hernandez hits a high fly ball to left. Ozuna's back out of room. Oh, my goodness. What in the world happened to him? He misread it badly, climbing the wall. And then the ball landed on the warning track as he fell off of the wall and bounced over for a double.
I don't know if he's embarrassed or hurt.
Oral Hershiser with that. I don't know if he's embarrassed or hurt. I can answer that for you, Oral. Both. If you listen to it, you can hear the unmistakable thud of a professional baseball player bouncing his face off the warning track, trying to jump off of a wall that he had just climbed onto for no reason whatsoever. And then listen for the gasp of the crowd that just witnessed Ozuna turn a can of corn into a can of self-inflicted whoop-ass.
Ozuna's back out of room. Oh, my goodness. What in the world happened to him?
He misread it. Oh, my God. This is not happening.
And then the ball landed on the wall.
I haven't seen a ball that misplayed or that misjudged since the one that bounced off of Jose Canseco's melon and went into the seats. I'm shocked the ground screw didn't roll out there and trace Ozuna's body in chalk. Mark off left field with a crime scene tape.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you've heard the saying, right? Wrong place, wrong time. The wrong place was being halfway up a wall. The wrong time was being halfway up a wall when a ball was hit to the front of the warning track. Credit to Ozuna, though, for attempting the dismount. I've seen guys jump on fences to try and rob home runs, but I've never seen a guy jump off of a fence to try to rob a routine fly ball.
Oh, my goodness. What in the world?
What a tragic turn of events for that poor guy. This guy turned his back to the play, scales the wall thinking he's about to lead every single highlight show last night, only to end up curb stomping himself, laying out for a lazy pop-up that he ultimately missed anyway. But you want to talk hometown cooking. Somehow the scorekeeper marked that as a double for Hernandez. The world's worst error is going down as a line drive in the box score. Except not in my book. I tell some dude to rub some dirt on it, but I'm pretty sure there's enough of the warning track permanently smashed into his face already. Weird, weird season. It's only been 2 weeks. I can't wait to see what happens tonight. If you haven't seen that video, go find it. Huge call brought to you by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal and feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper Business Phone Solution. Better business, small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. Grasshopper.com. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.